Hi, and welcome to On My Walk, the reading podcast that helps you capture some of those aha moments from reading and apply them to your life and to your leadership. Today, I have multiple aha moments that I would like to share, but alas, I can only give you one. And it comes from chapter 4 of Joseph Ellis's Pulitzer Prize-winning book, Founding Brothers. And what Ellis does in chapter 4, which he entitles The Farewell, is look at Washington's farewell letter to the American people. Now, there's so much to glean from this chapter. And Ellis notes, to kind of set the stage for us, that back in the 1790s, Washington was simply the most popular man in America. I mean, his picture was everywhere. It was on paintings, prints, lockets, coins, silverware. It was on the plates on which someone ate. Ellis said, and I quote, "Washington was the American Zeus, Moses, and Cincinnatus all rolled into one." So we have to put ourselves back into that day, September 19, 1796, and you're a part of the American people, and you open up your newspaper, and you discover a letter from the President of the United States, and it's his farewell letter to the American people. He's stepping away from leadership once and for all. And Washington is going to use this letter to remind his countrymen of key principles that he learned in the American Revolution that he hopes and he hopes and he hopes stay deeply embedded in the American nation for years and years to come. And what Ellis does in relaying all this to us is he helps us to see that George Washington stood head and shoulders above others in his nation, not simply by virtue of his stature at 6'4", but by virtue of his character and his leadership. Ellis writes this, "Over a longer stretch of time, the farewell address achieved transcendental status, ranking alongside the Declaration of Independence and the Gettysburg Address as a seminal statement of America's abiding principles." This is a very significant document, and he's going to highlight three things that Washington is driving home in his farewell address. The first one is the prudent exercise of power. And what Washington does, and Ellis helps us to see, is that true power is willing to surrender its power. I mean, the leader's greatest act of surrender is really knowing when he or she needs to step away. And Washington did that. Well, first he stepped back into leadership when he really would have preferred to go back to Virginia and farming, but he stepped back into leadership because his country needed him. But then he was also willing to step away from leadership. He did it once as a commander of the armed forces, and then he did it a second time as the commander-in-chief. And that is servant leadership. It was unheard of in his day. The second point that Washington brings out and that Ellis helps us to see is that one of those abiding principles is the need for national unity. Now, we might look at that and we'd say, hello, I mean, that's a no-brainer. But that's from our perspective. But back in those days, there were, as there are today, many factions that threatened the unity of the country. And Washington's going to make a very important point, and I'll come back to it. The third principle is this, it's true independence from foreign nations is much deeper than simply some patriotic veneer customarily suggested by the term independence. In other words, independence is not self-serving. Independence is not some sentimental attachment to some fleeting ideological enthusiasm that a leader may have at one particular moment in time. And this is really significant. And it's a significant difference between George Washington and, say, Thomas Jefferson. And I'd love to go into that more. Ellis does, and it's a masterful, masterful piece of work. But here's the thing I want to point out. I learned so much in this chapter, but my aha moment was his point about the importance of national unity. And more so, what brought him to this place of understanding the importance of national unity. And what Ellis points out is that Washington learned this principle of unity on the battlefield. Now hang with me because I think this is really important. Listen to how Ellis describes Washington as a leader who was a learner.
Although he actually lost more battles than he won, and although he spent the first 2 years of the war making costly tactical mistakes that nearly lost the American Revolution at its very start, by 1778 he had reached an elemental understanding of his military strategy, namely that captured ground, what he termed a war of posts, was virtually meaningless. The strategic key was the Continental Army. If it remained intact as an effective fighting force, the American Revolution remained alive. The British Army could occupy Boston, New York, and Philadelphia, and it did. The British Navy could blockade and bombard American seaports with impunity, and it did. The Continental Congress could be driven from one location to another like a covey of pigeons, and it was. But as long as Washington held the Continental Army together, the British could not win the war, which in turn meant that they would eventually lose it. Like all of Washington's elemental insights, this one seems patently obvious only in retrospect.
So Washington was what I would call a learning leader. Ellis writes this: a score of genuinely brilliant military leaders who also confronted a superior enemy force, Hannibal, Robert E. Lee, and Napoleon come to mind, were eventually defeated because they presumed that victory meant winning battles. Washington realized it meant sustaining national purpose as embodied in the Continental Army. Space and time were on his side if he could keep the army united until the British will collapsed. And that is precisely what happened. So what separated Washington in many ways was not only his physical prowess. You know, at 6'4", he was a big man. He was a commanding figure. But what really separated George Washington was how he learned as he went through his career as a leader, both in the military and in the political arena. I mean, as Ellis points out, Washington lost more battles than he won. But the thing that Washington did, and this is so important, is Washington continued to learn from his mistakes. And he applied that learning to the larger leadership picture, and then he shared that wisdom with the nation at large. It was as if he said to our nation, I learned as a commander that more important than winning a battle and winning ground was sticking together. And if we as a country only stick together, remain unified, we're going to be okay. Now I'm reflecting on all this and I'm thinking, you know, at times leaders make mistakes and then they give up. Or some leaders get to the spot where they learn a few things and then they coast on that learning. But Washington was different. Washington was a learning leader, and he continued to grow, and he continued to learn, and he continued to grow, and he continued to learn. And then he applied his lessons that he learned in leadership, he applied those on the battlefield and to his country. That's what a learning leader does. Now, how about you? Are you a learning leader? Are you stepping aside from time to time to see the bigger picture, to glean the bigger lesson, and then to apply it to your circumstances? George Washington did. George Washington learned that leaders fight battles every day, but it's not always about winning the battle. It's about sticking together through the battle. And that's a key lesson he learned because he was a learning leader. Well, the learning leader. That's my thought on my walk with George Washington and Joseph Ellis in the book Founding Brothers. Now, what you do with it, that's for you to work out on your walk through life.